I need a hook. That was my hook.
I'm going to introduce Steve Davidson next. Steve's mom said he must have had an elephant for a dad because his memory is so good. Don't elephants live to be 100 years old? Steve tells his stories like he was there, though he wasn't even born yet, making us all scratch our heads and listen more closely. Yeah. Jackie Norris would have been here tonight to interview Steve, but she could not make it. So I want to say what I was going to say for her introduction. Jackie Norris is the daughter of Chase Morris. Ah, yes, from Morris to Norris. She and her husband were on the newlywed game and won in 1970. Yep, TV was black and white then. Wasn't that 100 years ago? I got the chance to be up on stage tonight, and both Steve and Isabel were up here, and they were practicing with their mics. And then they got into a conversation back here, and it's one of those moments where you wish that you had a mic or you wish you had people, because they started discussing some things, and they were laughing and talking about what their memories, and it was just such a special thing, and I would love to replicate it, but I know we probably won't. So one of the things I want Steve to talk about is to talk about going up to the gravel pit, which is up 24th, which becomes Lake Langlois Road, to get a load of gravel from Isabel's husband, who owned the gravel pit.
Well, one-on-one, I could probably talk for 2 hours with every one of you, but talking to a crowd, I have a hard time getting 5 minutes in. But Jackie wanted me to talk, I told her a story about Lake Langlois years ago, and before the Depression, there was a logging company up there called Security Logging, and they cut a lot of big timber up on the bench of the Tolt River. The Security Logging grade went clear up to where the Bonneville power line crosses the Tolt River, and some real big timber up there, and they brought it all down, and they railroad logged it out, and then the Depression hit, so they dumped all those logs in Lake Langlois. And that's why if you're ever up there fishing or anything and you might look down under the water, you'll see a log 6 foot in diameter that's cut straight off, that was cut with a bucksaw. And they sat there for a long period of time, and then Security Logging kind of sold out to Cherry Valley Logging Company, and they retrieved what logs they could get out of the lake up there. But then a lot of them just laid there until the Girl Scouts got the property and the lake from the state. And then they kind of put the money up to clear the lake, and they took out a lot of the logs and that were harvestable. And then they put the boat launch in and stuff for the state, and then the Girl Scouts ended up with the rest of the lake up there. But then Isabel's dad, husband, he bought the gravel pit up there, and it was just right up from the boat launch. And I bought a little house over here in town from Grandma Parr, and I was building a patio, so I went up there with my little Chevy truck, a 1957 Chevy half ton, and Benny was in there loading up gravel. And of course, he's used to loading big dump trucks and everything, and he says, "Well, how much gravel would you like?" And I says, "Oh, I'll just take one scoop." Well, I didn't realize the scoop was about 3 yards. I dumped it in my truck and drove the bumper clear into the ground. But Lake Langlois in that area up there has quite a bit of history. And anybody that's been up there and you drive up past the lake, you're actually driving on the old railroad grade that was pulled out of there. And but that's just one of the stories that I had on it.
Hey, Steve, how much did that load of gravel cost?
I think it was $5 a load then, so, yeah. So.
And then you want to talk a little bit about the sawmill?
Oh, yeah, well, we're one of the only operating sawmills left in the Snoqualmie Valley out there, Davidson Sawmill, and we do custom sawing. I cut lumber for Roger and his barn here and stuff, and I don't know. I followed up the lumber industry for a long time. I worked for Jackie Norris's dad, Chase Morris, and then before that, I worked for Clifford Davis down there in 69, and that was a pretty good sawmill. We had about 20 employees year-round there, and we shipped lumber out by rail over the Milwaukee line here. We were probably the last car out of the valley here, a railroad car. We used to come uptown, bring semis up, and load the railroad cars up at night after we shut the mill down. And back then, Vietnam was going, so we cut a lot of government orders, a lot of one-inch stuff, and for building their barracks over in Vietnam and stuff. But it's still kind of a promising trade, the lumber industry. We're getting more and more people out here, and they buy a little five-acre tract, and they want some of their logs sawed for sentimental reasons they use on their own outbuildings. So we still got that available out there. Sawmill, if anybody's got any logs. But not this and down here, but I did cut lumber for the other one, but they haven't got it built. Dwayne Isaacson saw that and down here, but I've cut a lot of timbers for John Romanelli, and they built a lot of buildings for the Girl Scout camp and the Catholic youth camps. So
Steve is just an amazing person to talk to, and it is. He can talk to you for hours and hours, yeah. And so I highly recommend that you get a chance.
Yeah, if you have any questions, I'll answer to the best of my knowledge.
Yep, he knows a lot.
I listen, all my life. I've always helped out the old timers in the valley here. Old Bob Andrelli is a personal friend of mine. Bob Martin, that lived right next to Roger here, I always helped him out over the years. And
when did you open the sawmill?
Our sawmill out here? We started about 79. Yeah. Yeah, and all the other mills around were shut down. And when Davis shut down 75, then I went to work for Weyerhaeuser in Snoqualmie, and I worked there till 81.
And now he's a custodian at Tolton High School.
That's what happens when you're mean to the custodians when you're a student there.
Well,
I am one.
Let's give him a round of applause.
Thanks for the 5 minutes.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks a lot, Steve. That was Steve Davidson. Now I'd like to bring up Bill and Nancy. Actually, we're going to start out with Bill Pritchard. So Bill is a local musician. Bill and Nancy live in town, and they've never sang at Sound Balls before, so I'm really happy that they have, roped them into this evening. So Bill Pritchard, come on up. I don't know if you know Bill. He has a company called Mosaic Catering, and can cater to you if you give him a call. Here's Bill.
Good? Is that okay? Happy birthday, everybody. When Martin asked me to, I don't sing out very often, you'll see why in a second. I was a little nervous because I thought, I don't have any small town songs. And then I remembered that one little song I had written about roadkill. So, it goes like this. For the kids, because nobody likes roadkill more than the little ones. Where were you going, Mr. Possum? Never knowing this could be the end. And did you even coming, the 18-wheeler that was screaming round the bend?
roadkill's just another way of saying that he's gone. Do your children understand that you won't be coming home? They say you're stupid, Mr. Possum, but you don't have the sense to get out of the road. But they don't know you like I know you. You brave the highway, chase dreams nobody knows. Mr. Possum, nobody understands the road you're on.
The road you're on.
Have some mystery. Now you're gone. Now you're gone. Ashes to ashes, Mr. Possum. Sleep in peace, child, knowing you've done your best. And please forgive them, dear Mr. Possum, all those crows that are feasting on your flesh. Roadkill is just another way of saying that he's gone. Do your children understand? Won't be coming home. Not today. Not today. Mr. Possum.
I'm running a little short on time, so I'm gonna move on here. Lovely wife, Nancy Golden.
So I came to Carnation 12 years ago with a broken heart, and I found a sweet little cottage on Bird Street, and I used to sit outside every night and play my guitar and sit by the fire, and I played the song. It doesn't have anything to do with a small town, but it was the song that that I played over and over again because I was so broken until I found Carnation and all its healing power in the waters. And then along came Bill, and I stole him from Fremont. And so Carnation does have that pull, you know. So anyway. You can have my heart, though it isn't new. It's been used and broken, and only comes in blue. It's been down a long road, and it got dirty on the way. If I give it to you, will you make it clean and wash the shame away? You can have my heart if you don't mind broken things. You can have my life if you don't mind the tears. And I heard heard that you make old things new. So I'll give these pieces all to you. And if you want it, you can have my art. So beyond repair, there's nothing I could do. I tried to fix it myself, but it only got worse when you walked into my darkness and you whispered words so sweet. And then you held me like a child as my frozen tears fall down at your feet. And you can have my heart if you don't mind broken things. And you can have my love. You make old things new, so I'll give these pieces all to you. And if you want it, you can have. If you want it, you can have. If you want it, you can have. Small town song here that I just recently wrote. So Bill and I used to talk about his favorite thing was traveling the blue roads, which doesn't necessarily mean broken and sad. It's just on the map, you know, on the real maps, the paper maps that we used to have, the roads were blue, that were, you know, the ones where you couldn't find a McDonald's, and he said those were the best kind. And so I found myself driving out here on 203, which is a blue road, and found Carnation. Thank you.
Just because we are here at the Hirtus Farm, which is a national landmark, as you might well know, and Julia, as you heard earlier in the show, is born on the farm in the house over there. One January evening, about 12 years ago, almost 13 years ago, and I thought it might be just kind of neat to share that evening very briefly with you. That's one of those evenings that, for me, and more so for Maren, I would imagine, went really slowly. But you know, it was, we had been expecting our little Julia, our big Julia, for a long time, and like many first ones, she was late, so like a week late. And it had been kind of just like what we experienced this week is one reason I was thinking of it too, where the weather changes, right? So the night before Julia was born, great wind came up and it cleared the skies out and it turned colder, that January cold we get. And things began to move, I recall. And Julia was born on Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, January 15th, which was kind of neat. My parents went on a march with Dr. King, actually, so it kind of had some significance for us. And I remember when we had to phone home, you know, or the phones were starting to ring or people checking in to call and all that, I said that when Julia was finally born and in our arms, I said, "We're three at last, three at last." Praise God Almighty, we are three at last. So Julia, that's my little brief story. Right here in the house, I go to the park and I run in the park and, you know, here we are at Sound Falls. And of course, it never ceases to amaze me that such a significant part of my life, our life as a family, happened right here. My Rogers place, you know, it's really stunning. Julia, do you have a very first memory of being on the farm in that house?
Not exactly. No.
How about a first memory in our new house?
Yeah. A first memory? I kind of have one just like sitting on the windowsill and like at the house we live in now and just like playing with little toys with like a little village because I used to like to make little villages a lot. I still do.
We call it world.
With dinosaurs and cedar branches.
Yes, she calls it worlding.
You call it worlding.
Oh, we all call it worlding.
I don't call it worlding.
There's a lot of politics going on in the little villages in our home. It's kind of interesting. So we keep going back to this day when Julia was born, but you know, when you have a kid, it's a big deal. And when to be doing a show like this with so many friends and then have the community grow like this while Julia grows, it means a lot. So I'm always happy to see every one of you here. So what we're going to do is finish off the evening, thank you, Julia, with a fellow named Dan Carollo. Now, we've been doing the show for like 7 years now, and can't quite quit, so we're not going to. Things keep, you know, there's stumbling blocks, but Dan has been a consistent part of the picture. He was at one of the earliest gatherings, and his music really speaks to us. Byron was just in Ireland, and I'm Irish, and we have a lot of Irish tradition. We love singing Celtic music, and when Dan plays, we just relax and mellow out when we get ready for, you know, closing down the evening, saying thank you for the day, saying thank you for wonderful musicians like those we heard tonight, and the marvelous stories. And I'd like to just say that when he's finished, then we're going to sing Happy Birthday to the town, and then we're going to finish off with Ode to Tolt, with Raleigh Wilson again. And you can all use your music that's in the chairs there, and we'll sing together on the chorus lines for that. You can grab grab a CD at the back door, grab another piece of, you know, bowl of chili, and we'll all say goodnight to each other. So a little bit of quiet, relaxing music, and then we'll sing happy birthday, and we'll say our goodbyes. Thank you. Take it away, Dan.
Thanks. Thank you. It's a real honor to be here and with this community. Technically, I'm from Colorado Springs, from Sammamish, and from Ireland. So I've kind of moved around a bit, and it's wonderful to hear earlier tonight talk about, I can't remember your name again, but living here since 1923, that's the roots, it's just amazing, because I've been sort of rootless, I've been sort of all over the place. I remember, I think I played it, was it Miller's, that we used to have the sound falls, and that's, I remember being there several years ago, and just great to be back. So I'm going to play a few tunes here. Thank you. I'm going to play a couple tunes. Both of these are a couple of traditional hymns. First one's called Beechwood Spring, and the second one is called Down to the Valley to Pray. Sorry, I reversed the tunes. Okay, this one's called Beechwood Springs. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This next tune's a little kind of strange. I always have trouble with names for tunes. And usually I end up writing tunes that have no name for quite a while. So this one I wrote about 10 years ago. And one time we were staying in Oregon at a beach house. We were at one of those houses where you kind of cook your own meals and clean up after yourself. And one morning after cleaning, there was this copper-looking thing on the floor. And I turned to my friend, because we were staying there with some friends of ours, and said, "What's that thing on the floor?" And he said, "Well, that's the thing that fell off the kettle." And I thought, that's a great name for a tune. So it just has this kind of bounce to it. So this tune is called "The Thing That Fell Off the Kettle." So. My pick and find it. There we go. Thank you.
Can you hear me? Sure, I'll start. I'd like to, while Dan plays, I'm going to quietly list the contributions to the evening. These are special guests for today's Soundfall show. On the 13th day of October, today, 2012, 100 years after the birth of this town. In order of performance, local storytellers Roger Thorson, no need for applause, I'll keep going, I know you want to. Jim Jordan, Isabel Jones, Steve Davidson, Rhoda Bestachek, storyteller, wrangler. So the artists in the order of performance. George Sicombe, who did pre-show music. And we have Becky Cheney doing pre-show music. And Dan Carallo provided pre-show music. And then we had Byron Ricks on the dulcimer. He was also appearing as Spellspar. He is also the co-host and our show humorist. Stacy Powell, singer-songwriter, sang with me, and I'm Morin. Van Nostrand. Raleigh Wilson, singer-songwriter. Jack Ballard, singer-songwriter. Becky Cheney again with her partner Martin Cheney. Becky on accordion and Martin singing and playing the violin. Todd Powell was the film producer and director for this evening. Nancy Colton, vocal guitarist. Bill Pritchard, vocal guitarist. And again, Dan Carallo this evening with some quiet guitar. And the soundboard team, we have Scott Bodenbender, who provided the projection equipment, and John Coates, our audio recording engineer, known as the Master Podcaster. Stacy Powell provided us with beautiful posters for the show, and Todd Powell was the photographer for that. And again, we have Roger Thorson here this evening as our major support person, property owner, storyteller. We have Denise Crutchfield, also working for the farm, Carnation Tree Farm and Sound Falls. Special thanks to the Centennial Committee, Lee Grumman, Colleen Becker, Mimi Berger, Rhoda Bestachek, and Annie Gerson, along with Colleen Becker, provided the food for this evening. Thank you so much. That was very delicious chili and cornbread. Janet Hobach, Isabel Jones, and Kim Lisk. Those are all members of the Centennial Committee who we appreciate very much for their contributions all season. We also had some donations for this evening. The Centennial Committee donated food, Petridge Farm. Pepperidge Farm donated all those cookies, and flowers were made by Jackie Powell, Todd's mother. If you like what you're hearing at Sound Falls, then you may make an additional donation, tax deductible, toward the mission of the show by clicking on our website and following the instructions. We aim to create and foster live performance in the Snoqualmie Valley. For any additional questions, you can talk to me after the show. Or call me anytime. So now let's bring up Raleigh Wilson to sing Ode to Carnation Tolt. I don't know, I just can't make up my mind.
And while they're coming up, you know, there's one thing that's been going on in our house almost nonstop for a few months, and that's Marin planning this show and getting everyone together.
Oh, there's been breaks. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Oh, there's a place that I know where they take it kind of slow. There's a heifer or a hay baler in the road. It's just fine, take your time, smile, stop, and look around. See, we're happy because it's our hometown. See, we're happy because it's our hometown. Fly away into the wind, fly away into the heart of the valley. Come away, my friend, my carnation home, to my carnation home, to my carnation home, to my carnation home. An open road, a place to breathe, the good brown earth it calls to me. Still have campfire smoke hanging in the trees. Summer rises, we listen to the hogs roll by. Summer rises, we listen to the hogs roll by. Berry picking bees buzzing and a huge birthday party on the 4th of July. A huge birthday party on the 4th of July. Oh, fly away into the wind, fly away into the arms of the river. Come away, my friend, to my carnation home, to my carnation home, to my carnation home.
Nice.
To my sing some change, la la la. Pretty darn happy with what we've got. There's music and magic all around us every day. There's music and magic in all of us in simple ways. Fly away into the wind, fly away into the arms of the river. Come away, my friend. My carnation home, to my carnation home, to my carnation home, to my carnation home.
Keep going.
To my carnation home, to my carnation home, to my